Welcome to the By His Grace podcast. I am your host, Misty Phillip, and I am so glad you are joining us today. If this is your first time joining us, we are so glad you are here. On this podcast, we talk about the challenges we face in life and how God sees us through. We want you to know that you are never alone in your struggle and that you can do all things through Christ. Hit the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And if you're a regular listener and you haven't had a chance to leave us a review on iTunes, would you be so kind as to take a minute and leave us a review or share your favorite episode? These things help other people find the By His Grace podcast, and you never know what people are struggling with and how one of these episodes may be just the thing that they need to encourage them in their walk of faith. Well, today I have an exciting announcement for you. This podcast is being sponsored by the Spark Christian Podcast Conference. Did you know that Christianity category is the largest and fastest growing category on Apple Podcasts? But the mainstream podcasting conferences have little to no sessions related to or led by faith-based podcasters. Many Christian authors and bloggers are looking to expand their reach through podcasting, but many of them are held back because they don't know where to start. I know that I was afraid of the technology behind podcasting and really procrastinated for a long time before I had the courage to step out and do it. Well, if you are interested in starting a podcast, or you already have a podcast and want to take your podcast to the next level, I would like to invite you to join us for the Spark Christian Podcast Conference for podcasters and influencers in Houston, Texas, February 2020. We've launched a Kickstarter campaign, and you can find multiple ways there to support and encourage us. And please visit our website at sparkchristianpodcast.com. I am your host, Misty Phillip, and I am so excited that you are here today. I would like to introduce you to my new friend who just wrote a book called Friendish, Kelly Needham. Kelly, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much, Misty. I'm so excited to be here talking with you.
Well, congratulations on your new book. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But first, I understand you used to live in Texas, and I am a Texas girl. And any good Texas girl knows her Mexican food.
Yeah.
So I loved when I picked up your book and you were talking about going to dinner with a friend in Nebraska and the food was Mexican-ish. It reminded me of a family vacation we took, and we were on our way to Wyoming, and I'm not really exactly sure where we were, but we stopped at a place called Taco Ole, and I don't know what we were expecting. But it was not the Mexican food we were used to. So
that's right. Yes, I do love Mexican food. And growing up in the Houston area, I feel like you get kind of spoiled by really great Mexican and Tex-Mex food. So,
yes. Well, welcome. Why don't you introduce yourself to the audience? Tell us a little bit more about you.
Yeah, I did grow up in Texas. We actually still live in Texas in the Dallas area. I've been married now for 13 years to my husband, Jimmy, who's a singer-songwriter. Most people in the past have known me just by being married to him. We've got three kids, and I mean, more than any of that, the thing that grounds my life is I just really enjoy Jesus. I enjoy knowing him. He's my friend, my favorite person, and what kind of is the center of gravity in my life. I just want to always sneak away and find ways to get more time getting to know him in the Word and all that. So I know that's maybe a trite Christian answer, but that's just the most important part of my life and what kind of takes the center stage for me. Yeah. So that I've told a few people that's kind of my unofficial life goals, to convince as many people as possible that nothing compares to knowing him.
That's right.
He's the most amazing person you'll ever meet. So, yeah, I hope that is one of the fruits of the book as well, even though it's about friendships with other people. That you, in the midst of that, you'll see that Jesus really is the greatest friend you can have.
Yeah. And in my Bible study that I wrote, the struggle is real, but so is God. I say Jesus is everything because he is everything. And when you read the Old Testament, it all points to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the New Testament is all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he's everything. And so I love that. I love that that he's your best friend because yeah. that's how it should be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So friendships can be a challenge. I know for me in particular, growing up, I moved a lot, so I had to make friends pretty quickly. But I also had mean girls that I didn't quite understand. And, you know, relationships in a fallen world can just be a challenge. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that struggle of friendship today. And when in the beginning of your book, we're just going to jump right into it. Right. There's a part that talks about when the storm comes. And I highlighted this part because I thought it was very interesting. When the storm comes, a friendship built on the sand will crumble just as quickly and easily as it was built. Every irreconcilable difference, every word of gossip, every feeling of jealousy, every hateful cold shoulder, every resistance to healthy conflict resolution, and every refusal to forgive is rooted in the sand of self-centeredness. Wow. Could you speak to that?
Yeah, that comes from my own experience. You know, I wanted people to know in this book too that it's not like I figured out some magic formula, but I've walked through a lot of those storms, and they've been, I've seen friendships in my own life not make it because of my own selfishness or the selfishness of the other friend in that scenario. And, man, my hope is, and I think everybody's hope reading this book is, we don't want that to happen. We want friendships that are stable and lasting, but, we don't always realize there's a difficult cost to that. So we can avoid, you know, we tend to avoid doing the hard work of building friendships on selflessness of being generous in our friendship, because that can be really challenging, to do. But at the end, and if we don't do that, on the other side of that, when hardship comes, when misunderstanding comes, it is going to crumble. And I think we all bear the scars of those friendships that have crumbled. I don't know very many people who, when I've talked to them about this issue, can't look back on their life and go, oh, what you're saying reminds me of this or this person. And some people's scars there are far deeper than others. Some people have been so wounded in their friendships that they're actually afraid to build friendships. They've kind of just written the whole thing off and said, I'll just kind of go somewhere else to get my relational needs met. And that is not my hope for this book, but rather to help us all see what happened there. Why did that fall apart? What role did I play in that? Because that's all I can actually control. And let me step into doing the hard work to build healthy friendships, which is actually very difficult to do. It's not, you know, the easy things that maybe we see in sitcoms or other things, that these friendships feel like they just kind of fell in place and it was magical. You know, real friendship requires a lot of hard work, and I think that's why we tend to avoid it. But I'm hoping that this book will be casts a big vision for that and make people want to do the work to build those friendships, because they're just, it's so worth it. Jesus is our closest friend, but he didn't create us to be alone. We need the friendships of other people in our life and need to be willing to do that work.
Absolutely. And in the book of Hebrews, it talks about how as the days draw closer, like, we are not to forsake the assembly of believers, and we are, he created us for community, and we are to be in those friendships. And so we need to do that in a way that honors him. Mm-hmm. But I think I read that you talked about sometimes we avoid when there's a difficulty in our friendship, and we avoid it because we don't want to address it. But then by not addressing it, it actually mm-hmm. makes it worse.
Oh, man, that's probably the biggest growth that's had to happen in my life personally, because I think I used to view my avoidance of those issues as loving, maybe my friend hurt me, and instead of talking to them about it, because that was uncomfortable for me, I was like, I'm going to sacrificially love them and, you know, just deal with that myself. But then that built bitterness in me, and I didn't want to be around that friend. And that friend didn't even know they did anything wrong yet, because I hadn't taken the time to go tell them. And so there's a lot of misunderstanding there. And it took a long time, and some really good friends who on the other end of that were like, why aren't you being honest with me? for me to learn that's actually an expression to address and confront these issues is an expression of saying, this friendship is valuable to me. It's so valuable to me that since there's an issue in it, I'm going to actually move toward that tension to try and resolve it so that we can continue this friendship and make sure that it's maintained. And the avoidance of those issues is in some ways a value statement that that friendship isn't important to me, that I'd rather just kind of let it fizzle out and die than fight for it. And that can be really hurtful to people. A lot of times when there's issues, the other person doesn't know it, or maybe doesn't fully understand why what they did was hurtful or not. And it takes us being willing to have that really hard, awkward conversation. I mean, it is awkward. I mean, every time it's awkward, it's hard to sit down with your friend across the table and say, can I talk to you about this? You did this, you said this, you didn't do this, you know, you didn't recognize this moment in my life. And that hurt me, and that hurt my feelings. And let's go there. Let's talk about it. Let's work through that. We want conflict to be just totally out of the picture in our friendships. But I think it's a really valuable part of building real friendships, just like it is in building healthy marriages or having a healthy relationship with your children or anyone else. There's moments of conflict because we're all sinners. We're all going to sin against each other. We all have blind spots that we can't see that are going to offend and hurt other people. And so if we're not willing to address them in love and in kindness and patience, but with brutal honesty, then we're just going to end up with a lot of fractured relationships over the course of our life. We're just going to look back and see a lot of good starts to friendships, and that it just, for one reason or another, fizzle out. And nobody really wants that, but it does take the hard work of some conflict, some tension sometimes, of hard conversations, fight for that to work.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, if someone is listening and they have been really hurt by a friend, maybe they've tried to make amends, maybe they've tried to discuss it, but they're still not really, they don't feel the resolution there. If you could sit down, you know, like we're sitting down today, what would you say to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first question I'd probably ask them to clarify how they tried to resolve it, because at least for the women that I talk to, when I've had this conversation before, like, well, I went to my friend and talked to her about it and she didn't respond. And then I've asked them, well, tell me exactly what you said. And sometimes what they said wasn't clear enough or honest enough. It was kind of beating around the bush. It was like, you know, because we're afraid of that moment. And so the type of honest conversation I'm often encouraging people toward is so unfamiliar and so uncommon that it almost feels like, can I actually say that to my friend? And I'm usually like, you can. If they're your friend, they might be mad for a little bit or hurt by your honesty in that way. But if they're your real friend and they value that relationship, they're going to come back. If you were really honest and vulnerable and explained how you were hurt and they didn't respond with understanding, acknowledgement of that issue, and then you might have a follow-up conversation you need to have to say, hey, you know, this thing that I shared with you is really important and you didn't value it. And I just don't feel like there's trust now in our relationship. And I really want to trust you. I want to be able to share the deep things of my life, but I don't feel comfortable right now because this isn't resolved. And so if I'm not sharing things with you, just know it's not out of vindictiveness or spite, but there's trust that was broken there for me. And I'm not yet ready to do that yet. But there is a place for when you've been wronged and you're trying to bring it to light and that there's no resolution. I think there's a place for recognizing until trust can be rebuilt. And it's not always the best thing to keep going to that relationship and expecting it to be the same. There are healthy boundaries that we can put in place, but I think too many people put those walls up, those boundaries up before they've given the other person a chance to own and see maybe what they've done wrong that they couldn't see. So all of those moments too, for me, when I've been in those positions, have been full of a lot of counsel from outsiders, but outsiders who know me. And so that's the other thing, is people that I don't know that I talk to, I'm like, I don't know you. I don't know the whole of your life. If you have a wise counselor friend, someone who's like, doesn't know the both of you maybe as well. So, you know, go to them and say, I'm working through this with my friend. This is how I'm feeling about it. Is there anything I'm not seeing? We're called to pull the log out of our own eye first, and then go to our brother, sister, and say, hey, there's an issue that I have with you. And getting wise counselors in the midst of that can be really helpful. And again, we're not used to doing this with friendship sometimes. We think it should be easy. When it's not, we abandon ship.
Right. But, yeah. And we don't want to have that uncomfortable conversation mm-hmm. with them, because we'd rather say nothing and sort of let that friendship go than to really dig in and mm-hmm. fight for it. And I think that we need to fight for our friends, because mm-hmm. that community is so important to us.
I think the other reason we avoid it too, at least for me, this has happened, is I come and bring an issue to a friend, and usually, there's often moments where I'm having to deal with their response, which is, well, you did this and that's why that hurt me. And so sometimes my moments of addressing that friend actually end up exposing blind spots I didn't know that I had. And that's never fun. None of us want that moment. And so a lot of these conversations have started out with me having an issue, and then going, oh, we both had an issue here. And I've got to be willing to own that. And that's made me a better friend, though. I think that I'm able to be a better friend to people now because of all of these hard moments. And I wouldn't trade it. And I think we want the fruit on the other side. We just don't want the hard path it takes sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. Well, if we get a little further into your book, there's a part that talks about redefining our enemy. So talk to me about that.
Yeah. Well, usually in friendship, I think the enemy is discomfort. We want our friendships to be like a warm, cozy blanket, just safe and comfortable all the time. We want our friends to be those people that when we don't feel like doing the right thing, to kind of go, you worked really hard this week. It doesn't matter. You know, let's, you know, just whatever you want, whatever feels good. That's what our friendships are often chasing. The real enemy isn't discomfort. As Christians, we know the real enemy of our souls is the sin that we carry, the enemy, Satan, who inflames that sinfulness in us with accusations and lies, and the world around us that is going in the opposite direction of God, that there are real enemies out there of our souls. And those enemies weave their way into our friendships as well. And so and at the end of the day, that all separates us from God, who is for us our rock of stability, the one who holds our lives together. So if we can view those enemies rightly, then our friendships can begin to fight for the right things. And so when sin creeps in, when things that are separating us from God, or we see something in our friend's life that is separating them from God, the one their soul needs, we can go and say, that's the real enemy here. Even if there's discomfort in my friendship for a little while, that's okay. That's not the enemy of my friendship, that discomfort. It's the sin that's in you, or the accusations you're dealing with that are keeping you from Jesus. Or it's the things in my life that are hindering me from fellowship with God and fellowship with my friends. And I have a real friend is somebody who's going to see that and say, I'm willing to risk the felt comfort of our friendship for a season to fight off the real enemy in your own life and in mine. And when you get friends who partner together in that way and yeah. fight those enemies, that's really powerful. You become then comrades together, like soldiers in battle. And the relationship you have deepens, because you're not just fighting for closeness with one another anymore. You're fighting for something even bigger than that. And that really bonds you together in a way that is extremely meaningful and powerful. But it does take the willingness to walk into that discomfort for a season.
And a healthy dose of self-introspection too, because mm-hmm. you have mm-hmm. to be able to hear the truth and love. You have to be able to to see your part in it and not mm-hmm. just cast blame on the other person. Well, they did this to me and they hurt me.
Yes.
You know, if there's someone listening who has been wounded by a friend and is struggling to not be bitter, could you speak to them into that situation?
Yeah. First, and Jesus is going to be the healer of that wound. I think that would be the first thing to remember above everything else. We tend to assume that our wounds will be healed by the person who wounded us owning it and apologizing fully, that then I will feel fully healed. And that can be really messy because we cling really tightly to, like, you don't understand yet. You haven't owned this yet. But that when you're wounded by somebody, Jesus ultimately is going to be where you need to seek healing from. But then you need to go to that person, ideally to fight for reconciliation with them. You know, we are called to be a reconciled people. And so if you've been wounded by a friend, if you haven't yet told them or addressed that, I think that would be your next step, is after bringing your hurt to Christ, to then go to that person. And with kindness, you don't need to come with vindictiveness, but go, hey, this happened. And when you said this, when you did this, this is what it made me feel. This is what it did to my soul. This is how it wounded me. And man, I'm really hurt by that. And give them a place to respond. And sometimes when I've been on the receiving end of that, where a friend has told me, this is how you hurt me. And it was very unintentional. It was a blind spot in me. And so on the other end of that, I was working through my own insecurities and issues. And my friend was gracious enough to, though she was the one coming with hurt, she listened to me. And so your friend that you bring that up to may come with a whole lot of other things, and be a good friend to them. Be willing to listen and process and listen to them. But if that conversation goes poorly, you can only control yourself. You know, you're called to fight to forgive them no matter how they respond. If they respond with hurt and anger and literally walk out the door with, you know, more harsh words, then you keep taking your wound to Jesus and you ask him to heal you. And you pray for that friend that the Lord will move in their life, because the sin that they might be dealing with is dangerous to their soul. And so fight for their ultimate good in prayer. You don't need to necessarily pursue friendship, but you can be a friend to them from afar by giving them grace and forgiveness in your own heart and then praying for them. And that's really hard work. I know it's easy to talk about now, but it's very difficult.
Yeah. But that you're right. And that is so good. So good. Well, I ask everybody who comes on the podcast, do you have a verse that stuck out to you when you were writing this book? Or is there a life verse that you just cling to? What would you say?
Well, writing this book was extremely difficult. And so I often thought of 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, where Paul has a thorn in his side and he asks God to take it away. God doesn't condemn him for asking, but then says, no, I'm not going to take that hard thing away, because I'm going to let you know my power is perfected in your weakness. That's right. My grace is sufficient for you in it. And so Paul's response is, well, that's great then. Give me more weakness, God. I'm going to celebrate that if that's how your power is perfected in me. So for this book, I found myself on my knees a lot, but just telling God, you've given me an impossible task. I cannot do this. But then going, Lord, this may be your plan to keep me in weakness and lowliness and emptiness so that you can perfect your power through a very humble, broken vessel like myself. And so if that's what you want to do, that this book would be more helpful, then let it be. And I believe I'm seeing the fruit of him doing that on the other side, but it just encourages me, even though I'm not writing a book right now, to go, Lord, where do you need to keep me in weakness today? And help me to be content in weakness and in being poor in spirit and recognizing how much I need you. If the fruit of that is your power can be more strong through my life, keep me content in my lowliness and my weakness, if that's what will accomplish more for your kingdom and encourage your people. So yeah, that's been on my mind a lot.
I love it. And I laughed because it sounds like when I was writing my Bible study, I'm like, you have called the wrong person to do this. And it is so amazing to me. For those of you who have not written a book, writing is a spiritual journey, and the work that the Lord does within the writer's heart, I can't even really put words to it, because God is just so sweet in that time. And as we submit to Him and submit our weakness to Him and allow Him to work in and through us, it is a beautiful, painful process at times.
Yes.
But like you said, if it drives us to our knees and it brings us closer to Christ, that's the goal. And ultimately that we will shine our lights brighter for Him. So your book just launched, and yes, people can find that everywhere books are sold. Mm-hmm. But if they want to find you and find out more about the other ministry opportunities and things that you're doing, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can go to my website, kellyneedham.com, and there's blogs. I've been a blogger for a long time, so there's articles on all sorts of things beyond friendship there, and some speaking that I've done. There's a Bible study methods class on there. So that's the heartbeat of what I want to share with people. It's like, here's how you can know Him. I want you to be able to see Him jump off the pages of your Bible. So there's a class on my website that you can take that's about that. And then right now I'm on all the social media stuff just under Kelly Needham. So, in book launch world, that's important. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on today and talking about friendships and talking about when they might be uncomfortable. Thanks for pointing us to Jesus through the process. So thank you all for being here today. Y'all go check Kelly out and find her book, and it's called Friendish. Thanks so much.
Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Philip, and I would love to connect with you there.